This is Late Night. This is Late Night on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, here we go. I like it. Game of Thrones music, which is coming back soon. Master Sunday is going to be the night the Game of Thrones comes back, by the way. Unbelievable. What a day. You get your Master Sunday. I get some people don't like watching golf. I do. I'm sorry. I enjoy watching golf. I enjoyed watching Rory McIlroy yesterday. That's my guy. I'm Irish, so I was cheering for Rory McIlroy to win yesterday. But Master Sunday, then into Game of Thrones, that's a Sunday. That's one of those Sundays where you tell the wife if you're married or you tell your girlfriend, you know what, don't count on me for anything today. I'm going to watch golf all day, and then I'm going to watch Game of Thrones tonight. And your wife or your girlfriend may actually like Game of Thrones. Brian Barrett with you for the next 2 hours, 617-779-7937. The more I think about what happened tonight for the Celtics, I guess technically last night at this particular point in time since we're past the midnight hour, the more I think about what happened tonight, it just sucked. The night sucked. All around, the night sucked for the Celtics. Everything that happened tonight, it just sucked. It's the bottom line. It was an awful night if you're a fan of the Boston Celtics. Think about it from all the different angles tonight. Okay, so you have a situation where you come into a big game and you expect that your team's going to show up. They're going to play at a high level. And it looks that way for about 3.5 quarters. And then what happens? The Celtics fall apart at the end of the third quarter where they're up 80-75. And you have Jason Tatum miss a wide open three. He falls asleep on defense. Torrey Craig hits an open three. Marcus Morris, with 1.1 second left in the third quarter, throws the ball out of bounds, and Denver gets an easy dunk at the end of the quarter to tie the game up heading into the third. And then when Kyrie Irving's on the bench, the Celtics are outscored 18-10 in the fourth quarter. So that sucked, and Kyrie Irving tried to save the day at the end, but he couldn't. They built up too big of a lead, did the Denver Nuggets. And then you think about some of the other elements in this game. The coach was horrible. The coach was bad. And the coach has been bad for the majority of the season. He still hasn't figured it out, and we're almost in the postseason. Okay, you think about some of the things he did tonight. Jaylen Brown plays 20 minutes. Who had been shooting 60% from the field. He had hit at least 3 threes in the previous 3 games. He had been the second best player on the team since January. And Jaylen Brown plays 20 minutes. Terry Rozier is 3 of 9 from the floor, plays 21 minutes. Marcus Morris, the black hole who doesn't pass, played 35 minutes. Okay, and you have Jaylen Brown playing 20 minutes. And then you think about other angles to all this. You have a situation tonight where the same thing on offense that Denver was doing for the whole game to expose you, they kept doing. Pick and pop, and nobody is covering Nikola Jokic. They're just saying, hey, Jokic, he's free to pop. And when he had open threes, he hit him. He had 3 open threes, and he also had 7 assists. So even if you weren't challenging the shot, he could just look over the defense because he's so big and find open guys. And at some point, don't you think the coach should figure things out and say, you know what? There's a strategy portion here that I should be thinking of. Okay, if something's working for the other team and it continues to work, maybe I should switch things up. I don't know. It's a crazy idea. Now, what we call this in sports is we call this an adjustment. You make an adjustment to your game plan because you thought maybe if we go under screens, let Jokic take open shots, maybe that'll suck him into taking too many shots, and he won't be the playmaker that he is. Because we know now that stat that was up, he's the first center since Wilt Chamberlain to have 500 assists in the season. Maybe if we do this, we'll take away his playmaking abilities. Maybe that was your idea, Brad Stevens, going into the game. But clearly that idea did not work, to the point where it was making life easier for Jokic. So at halftime, what you should have done, is scratched up your game plan and said, no more doing that. Okay, we're not going to let him get open on those pick and pops. But Brad Stevens, what do you know? He never made an adjustment to his game plan whatsoever on how to cover Nikola Jokic. Okay, and then you think about how the night really, really must have sucked for Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving is somebody that comes into the game. He's motivated because he doesn't like Jamal Murray because of what happened. Or not that he doesn't like him, but he was irritated that in Denver, Jamal Murray went for 48 points. And at the end of the game when it was over, he took a shot that would have got him a 50-point game. Kyrie was pissed off about that because he thought the game was over. You shouldn't shoot like that. And whether or not you agree with Kyrie Irving or not, he was really pissed about that. He got a technical, okay, at the end of the game, threw the ball into the stands. So he wanted to prove something to Jamal Murray. Wasn't able to win this game, despite the fact that he went for 30 points. He played well. And then you also factor in Isaiah Thomas gets honored tonight. Kyrie Irving is the guy that was traded for Isaiah Thomas. Kyrie Irving is sitting on the bench when this video is going on for the guy that he was traded for, and he sees Marcus Smart and Terry Rozier fired up, okay? Marcus Morris is making the sign, or rather, Marcus Smart is making the sign, the Isaiah Thomas the Four sign or whatever, and Terry Rozier is like hugging him. So he sees his teammates fired up to see them honoring the guy on the other team. So you wanted to, if you were Kyrie Irving, ruin the night, okay? At least get everybody back on your side where it's like, okay, yeah, they may have honored Isaiah Thomas, but this is my city now. This is my team now. And whether or not Kyrie Irving actually wants that, it's anybody's guess at this particular point in time because it's impossible to read that guy's mind, which with the things that he says, okay? So who knows what Kyrie Irving really wants to do, but I can guarantee you that he wanted to win this game tonight based on everything that was going on for Isaiah Thomas. And then if you're Kyrie Irving, you're out there sitting around during this game or playing basketball, I should say, not sitting around, but you see the crowd going nuts for Isaiah Thomas, not just during the video, when you're actually playing against him. The guy's on the floor, and the crowd is cheering for Isaiah Thomas. They're ooing, they're eyeing. They want his three-point shot to go in. That sucked. I hated that. Watching that as a fan, was there anything that you liked about that? Did you actually like seeing the crowd cheering for Isaiah Thomas when he was playing? I'm not disputing the fact that you should cheer for Isaiah when he's got the video thing going on. I'm fine with all that. You want to cheer for him during that? You should. He deserves to be cheered for during a video tribute. But the fact that you're in a situation where you're cheering for the guy where he's actually playing a game for the other team, that's where I have a problem with that. So that sucked from my perspective as well. That was awful. And then after the game, you got Isaiah Thomas saying that we would have won a championship already, was his quote, if he never was traded away from the Celtics, okay? So that sucked too because we all know that's not true. It's a delusional comment. It's a ridiculous comment. So after what the Celtics organization did for him tonight, which I thought was overboard to begin with, okay, the guy had an opportunity last year to get this video tribute, and he said he didn't want it at that particular point in time because he wasn't playing and his family wasn't there. I'm sorry, Isaiah. This is the night we plan for you to get the video tribute, which I don't think you need to give the guy a video tribute anyway. What are you really honoring? The fact that this was a gritty Celtics team a couple of years ago with Isaiah that lost to the Cavaliers in the Eastern Conference Finals? I think we should really honor that team. I say that facetiously. I don't get why you need to honor that team to begin with. But Isaiah Thomas, you had your opportunity. Then you wanted to have it the same night that Paul Pierce was getting his jersey retired. Pierce put an end to that. He said, no, this isn't happening, which I understand where Pierce is coming from. He's a great Celtic, the best Celtic since Larry Bird. So I understand where Pierce is coming from. Okay, so you don't need to do it that night. So Isaiah Thomas didn't get it that game, and now he needs it this year to get the video tribute. And after all this, they decided to put on the video tribute for you, Isaiah Thomas. You have the balls to say after the game, we would have won a championship already if they didn't trade me. Like, come on, man. Nobody thinks you would have won a championship by now. You haven't been able to play in the NBA since then. You've had a bad hip. You've had hip surgery. You've barely played. How the hell would they have won a championship? You haven't been on the court. You're in Denver playing for a Nuggets team that won't even play you. You're out of the rotation right now. You had a meeting with the head coach, Mike Malone, where he said you're not playing. The only reason you're on the court tonight is why? Is because Mike Malone gave you, or threw you a bone, I should say, and gave you a couple of minutes against your former team. And man, how bad did Isaiah Thomas look? He looked like the walk-on senior that gets in the game for the courtesy call on senior night, right? Where, did you see him? He shot a floater off the side of the backboard, okay? His three-pointer was nowhere near in, and he caught the ball on the sideline instead of inbounds. Okay, like, Isaiah Thomas looked clueless out there. He was playing pickup basketball at Emerson yesterday. So, no, Isaiah, nobody thinks that you would have actually won a championship if you were still with the team right now. 617-779-7937. Let's get to Mike. He's in Rockport tonight. What's going on, Mike?
Yeah, you know what? Like, yeah, man, I'll say this. Like, I've hated that Isaiah-Kyrie trade since the beginning, but I've hated it more because of people like you who say things that are so unbelievable against Isaiah Thomas. It's like you forget that this guy brought the Celtics from 18 wins to playoffs, to this, to that. Like, he brought he led him to the number one seed. That's nothing. What has Kyrie Irving done? He brought him to the number two seed last year, and then he couldn't play, and he couldn't even watch the game in game seven to get his nose surgery. Like, you guys are absolutely pathetic when you talk about Kyrie, and you're most so disrespectful when you talk about Isaiah Thomas. Like, Isaiah Thomas brought a team full of absolute jokes and nobodies and carried them on his back with 50-point games in the playoffs. And then Kyrie Irving, all of a sudden, like, oh, Kyrie Irving's this great player. He's an absolute bum. He's, like, you know what? You know why this team
Wait,
lost?
Mike, hold on.
No.
Hold on one second. Mike, hold on. What did I say about Kyrie Irving? What did I say about Kyrie Irving?
What do you mean?
What are you talking about that I said something about Kyrie Irving? When did I praise Kyrie Irving?
Kyrie Irving, he really, look at him. He's going to be so upset that Isaiah Thomas is getting a standing ovation. Because Isaiah
Thomas I just think that's funny. I think that's funny, Mike. I'm not defending Kyrie Irving. I'm just saying I think that's funny. Like, Kyrie Irving's probably sitting there and he sees Isaiah Thomas get an honor. This is going to be a weird night for Kyrie Irving. It's not like I have any sympathy for Kyrie Irving because of the stuff he's done. I've never been a Kyrie guy to begin with based on everything he's done this year. I'm not supporting Kyrie Irving. I'm just saying from Isaiah Thomas's perspective, why do we have to go out of our way to honor this guy? What did he really do? Because they had a playoff run? I mean, is that where we're at, Mike? You want to honor guys because they make it to the playoffs and they have a decent run? That's what you want to honor Isaiah Thomas for?
No, I want to honor the guy because if it wasn't for Isaiah Thomas, we wouldn't be where we are today with the Celtics franchise. And you know what? That trade set the franchise back multiple years. And the worst thing possible that could ever happen to the Celtics franchise is if Kyrie Irving signs a $38 million a year deal for the next 5 years, we will never win a championship with that clown. And this
Mike, hold on. What do you think, Mike? What would have been worse if they signed Isaiah Thomas to an extension or the trade for Kyrie Irving? What's worse?
Listen, all right. This is what I hate about sports radio. You guys ignore the fact that let's flip it around. Okay, ready? How about this? How about Isaiah Thomas doesn't get hurt, right?
But he did. You can't just say what if he didn't get hurt?
That's unrealistic.
It would be a totally different thing.
No, but you guys know that the Celtics fired their whole doctoral staff.
Yeah.
This injury, okay? So it's not Isaiah Thomas's fault. Like, this guy fought for us. He was there for us the whole time. And then now, now he's hurt, right? No one, when the trade happened, nobody, not one person could tell you in 2 years, Isaiah Thomas is going to be hurt. I feel bad for this guy. I really do. He gave it all for the Celtics. And all you sports media guys want to talk about is the fact that, oh, look at him now. It's like a poor thing that he's coming out on there. Like, you guys are soft. You guys are pathetic.
Mike, I feel bad. Mike, I feel bad for Isaiah. I feel bad for Isaiah. I said that multiple times. Like, Isaiah was going to get a big contract, then he hurt his hip. I'm sympathetic to that. I feel bad for the guy. I appreciate what Isaiah Thomas did when he was in a Celtics uniform. But let's get to the reality of the situation. We can't just say if he never got hurt. And I get you can criticize the medical staff for that and whatnot. But you can't have it both ways and say, oh, what if he never got hurt? Well, okay. It doesn't really matter if he never got hurt. He did get hurt. And Danny Ainge fleeced the Cavaliers. He fleeced the Cavaliers. Isaiah Thomas, he got that contract off his book, so he didn't have to give him an extension. He got Kyrie Irving, who was, 4 years younger than Isaiah Thomas. He's a much better player. He got Kyrie Irving, and he got rid of Isaiah Thomas. Like, you were not going to be able to sign Isaiah Thomas long-term and it be good for the franchise. Imagine if Danny Ainge did that. If you want to play the hypothetical game, if he signed Isaiah Thomas to a big deal long-term, this would be a disaster. Look where Isaiah Thomas has been. He barely played last year for the Cavaliers. He couldn't play with LeBron. He went to the Lakers. He had to shut it down at the end of the season. He's now playing on a league minimum contract. I'm not trying to minimize what Isaiah Thomas did for the Celtics, but what do you want to do? What more do you need to have for the guy? You gave him a video tribute. What more do you want? What more do you want for the guy? Do you need to have a parade because the guy had a good season for the Celtics? He averaged 29 points per game. Like, is that where we're at? We need to have a parade for Isaiah Thomas for all he achieved for the Celtics? There were runner-ups in the Eastern Conference. I don't understand why we have to praise the guy so much. And it just shows you how clueless he is that he says after the game that they would have won a championship if he wasn't traded. Okay, so what is Isaiah Thomas also, like Mike was doing? Is he ignoring the fact that he got hurt? Like, what are we doing? Are we in this alternate universe where the injury never happened? I just don't get it. And I'm not just putting this on just Isaiah Thomas in terms of the video tributes. The video tributes, I think, are stupid. There's too many video tributes. I don't think we need all these video tributes, okay? I don't think we needed one for Isaiah. And the fact that he didn't want the one last year when they were coming back the first time because he wasn't playing and his family wasn't going to be here. Well, this year he was barely playing. This year, the only reason he played is because the coach gave him some courtesy minutes. Ordinarily, in a Nuggets game now, he wouldn't have been playing. So why do we have to wait all this time to give him a video that he wanted to make sure when he wanted the video to be played? So not only is it they were going to honor him with a video, the video had to be on when Isaiah Thomas wanted the video. That's what pisses me off. This is the same Isaiah Thomas that said he would never talk to Danny Ainge again. Okay, he said that. And now he's saying, oh, if I had the opportunity, I would come back to the Celtics. Because now he's in a spot where he's only playing for the league minimum. And look, I understand why Isaiah Thomas was frustrated. It's a tough business. Okay, I understand all this. And I feel bad for Isaiah Thomas. I think I've made that abundantly clear. I feel awful for the guy. If you think about where he was to where he is now, this is a guy that, and for NBA standards, has never got that big-time contract. For the normal person, he's made a lot of money, right? He was on a four-year, $32 million deal, I believe. He's making like $8 million per season, okay? Now he's making the league minimum. I understand the frustration of Isaiah Thomas. You think about it. The guy sacrificed everything for the Celtics, right? He played literally on an injured hip that has cost him significant money down the road. He was in a situation where he was playing after his sister passed away. So I understand where Isaiah Thomas is coming from. I feel bad for the guy. I do. I really do, because you think about it. Since that injury, he got traded away, and he's the opposite of Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving, it's like he was the number one pick. He's gotten everything. He's won his championship, and he's kind of like, I don't really know if I want to stick around with the Celtics. Ask me on July 1st, right? Kyrie Irving's been flaky, if you will. Isaiah Thomas, all he wanted to do was be a Celtic. All he wanted to do, and it just didn't work out for him because of the injury. And then he goes to a Cleveland team. He can't figure it out then, still dealing with the hip injury, to the point where he has to shut it down with the Lakers to get hip surgery, and now the only contract he's offered in the NBA is what? The league minimum. So I feel awful for Isaiah Thomas. I really do, but I just don't understand what more we need to do for Isaiah Thomas. I really don't understand what more the city owes Isaiah Thomas. Basically had like 48 hours to honor the guy, essentially. That's all they did for like the past 24 to 48 hours, to the point where this is my irritation with the whole Isaiah Thomas thing. Why are people in the crowd tonight cheering on Isaiah Thomas when he's on the opposing team shooting? It's one thing during the video tribute to honor Isaiah Thomas, to stand up and give him that standing ovation. That's one thing. It's a totally different thing to stand up and cheer when Isaiah Thomas is shooting against your team.
Especially this is in a close game, too.
Yeah, like
these,
exactly.
We need these games. We need to win. Yes. Like, come on.
Yeah, Joe, if you're the Celtics right now, you're playing for seeding, right? You're trying to get to make sure you're in the four seed at least. Like, you'd like to get to the three seed if you could. Philadelphia's ahead of you. You're battling with the Pacers for that four seed. You'd rather be the four seed than the five, because then you get the home court at least for one round of the playoffs. It's awfully tough to go all the way to the NBA Finals, which the Celtics still think they can do. They may be delusional in thinking that the way they've played this year, but nonetheless, they still believe that. It's awfully tough to do that if you have to go on the road for every series. So all these games are critical to the Celtics. It's a Denver team that, yes, Denver's had a really nice season, but this is a Denver team that you should be capable of beating at home, especially the way it went down. And the fact that people in the stands were actually cheering for Isaiah to score, that's the thing that just pissed me off. It's not the fact that they honored Isaiah Thomas, although I think the video tributes are a little ridiculous. It's stupid. If the guy didn't want it last year, okay, it's over with. You don't have to honor him again. I mean, I don't understand what we're doing here. I really don't. But again, you want to clap for him during that? You should. And if I was in the building tonight, I would have been giving Isaiah a standing ovation when the video was playing, because that's what you should do if they're actually going to award him with this video tribute, if you will. And this has nothing to do with Kyrie Irving. All I was saying about Kyrie Irving, my point about Kyrie Irving is, what would you think tonight if you're... I think it's funny that Kyrie Irving was in this position. What would you think? So they play this video of Isaiah Thomas. They're honoring him. And you're actually the guy that eliminated them 4-1, remember, in the Eastern Conference Finals that year. Kyrie and the Cavaliers and LeBron, they took care of the Celtics pretty easily that year. But nonetheless, I digress. You're sitting there and you're seeing your teammates, Marcus Smart and Terry Rozier, like so pumped up for this video tribute to Isaiah Thomas. You're sitting there watching the video and your teammates are pumped up cheering him on. And then you're playing a game where you're playing for seeding. And you see the crowd cheering on Isaiah Thomas. It's funny how opposite these two guys are. Isaiah wanted everything that Kyrie has, right? Isaiah comes to the Celtics, and he needs to prove himself. He does prove himself. Remember, when he first came to the Celtics, coming off the bench, eventually becomes a starter, he becomes a top five MVP candidate, an all-NBA performer, and he has an unbelievable season to the point where he's like becomes a favorite for people across the NBA because it's this underdog story, right? All the stuff that Kyrie Irving has done in his career, he's supposed to have done. Kyrie was supposed to be one of the best players in the NBA. He was the number one pick. He was a top five recruit coming out of high school. Okay, Isaiah Thomas was the last pick in the draft. So they're completely opposite. Isaiah Thomas was the guy that wanted to do everything to make sure he was with the Celtics long term. Kyrie Irving's on the other end of the spectrum, right? He got traded to the Celtics, who, remember, were not originally on his trade destination list, if you will. And now Kyrie Irving, after saying he wanted to play for the Celtics long term, now he's like, when you ask him about free agency, ask me on July 1st. So he looks at Isaiah Thomas, or rather, Isaiah Thomas looks at Kyrie. He's like, oh, that's what I wanted. That's everything I ever wanted. That's what I wanted to be. I wanted to be like Kyrie Irving. And I wanted to have everything that Kyrie Irving's been given. And Kyrie Irving's just like, with what Isaiah Thomas wanted, he's like, you know, I don't really know if I want it. I don't even know if I really want to be the star of this team long term. Maybe I'll go play in New York with my buddy Kevin Durant. Maybe I'll do that. 617-779-7937. Steve is in Miami tonight. What's up, Steve? We got you, Steve?
Yep, I got.
Hey, what's going on, man?
Oh, we on the air?
Yeah, what do you got?
Oh, okay. Wow, that was a quick turnaround. I'm sorry about that. I'm waiting a few moments. First of all, I gotta agree with you. I mean, every Boston Celtic fan loves Isaiah Thomas. I mean, but come on, he brought respectability to the Celtics, and he did do that. But did he win a championship? No. Did he do anything else? I mean, it's like, okay, you have a night for Paul Pierce. Well, that's well-deserved. He's going to be a future Hall of Famer. He brought a championship. He was part of a big three. And I know it was different times and all that, but he got us to the glory land. Isaiah, I love Isaiah. You know, everybody loves the smaller players who does more than what he should be doing. And there's no reason why we can't remember Isaiah and what he did for the Boston Celtics. But to say that he should have a night, you're right. There's no reason why all these players around the league and all that get all these nights and all that. It's overkill. And maybe that's part of the reason why the Celtics lost tonight. They took a time away from everything else. I don't know. I still remember when the Red Sox a few years ago honored and made a big thing, which they needed to do, but maybe they went a little bit too far with Big Papi, and it seems like they just rolled into the playoffs and they weren't ready. But I love Isaiah Wood. I'd like to see him come back, yes, if he's healthy and all that, but you're right. For fans like Michael and Isaiah Thomas himself to say that they would be in a better position right now with Isaiah than with Kyrie Irving. They are very delusionalized with the love for Isaiah Thomas. That's all I can say. I mean, there's no way the Celtics would be in a better position right now. Even with them having an up and down season, they would have a down season.
Yeah, and, no, I appreciate the call, Steve. And look, 617-779-7937, the number. And look, even if Kyrie Irving ends up leaving at the end of the season, you would still do that trade, okay? Because Isaiah Thomas is damaged goods. So you still, if you had to go back in time, you take a chance on Kyrie. You're looking at a guy that is a top 15 player in the league, an exceptional scorer, can do it at the highest level. He's proven that the best team in this league, the Golden State Warriors, can't cover him. Okay, they tried to cover him in the NBA Finals. He destroyed them. He had a 40-point game. The best team in the world cannot cover Kyrie Irving. So if you do that again, you go back and you make that trade. Not to mention the fact that the guy is younger. Okay, so you make that trade 10 times out of 10. If Kyrie Irving leaves, that doesn't mean the trade was wrong by Danny Ainge. Because what was he going to do? Sign Isaiah Thomas long term? I'm just done with the tribute videos, and my word, the tongue bathing that Isaiah Thomas gets in this town, it's unbelievable to me. All right, a lot more to get into, including the one party that is really hurt today by what happened with Isaiah Thomas and the amount of attention he got, and also what's going on with the Red Sox right now in terms of Dustin Pedroia. It seems like he doesn't really agree with what's going on with the manager and him not playing on opening day. And the Patriots, they're still in the market for wide receivers, and you may have heard of the guy that they're after. You're listening to Brian Barrett right here on WEEI. All right. Well, one person it was a rough night for, other than everybody on the Celtics because they lost to the Nuggets. Stephen A. Smith, Brian Barrett with you for the next about an hour and a half. 617-779-7937. So I just find this funny, and it's been pointed out on Twitter by a couple of people. I saw Mutton Callahan tweeted this out. So how about this? Stephen A. Smith just a week ago, remember what he said about Gordon Hayward? There is elements of Boston, Massachusetts. They don't want just a star, of course. They'll take any star that they can get because their priority is winning. But everybody and their mother knows that particularly when it comes to Boston, if we can have a white superstar, that would be even better. And they view Gordon Hayward as having that kind of potential. So all of those things considered, the players recognize this, were aware of this, and ultimately those who are compromised by having to be on the court with Gordon Hayward. Not because they don't like him, not because he's not a good guy, because he's a good guy. It's just they know he hasn't fully recovered. So he's not going to be the same as he used to be. They know he's going to be a step slower. They know he's going to be compromised. I've spoken to people in the league who literally have said, look, man, no disrespect to Hayward, nice guy, but he's really, really compromised right now. He's not the same guy that he was. And they said, we actually kind of feel sorry for him because he's a nice guy and we know he's trying to come back from injury. So he really pointed out that Boston wants a white superstar. That would be their priority. Well, the Isaiah Thomas thing kind of goes back on that a little bit, right? Because Isaiah Thomas was on the opposing team tonight. The crowd literally went nuts for the guy. And they actually cheered for him when he was playing for the other team. Isaiah Thomas, of course, is a black superstar, or was a superstar in the league, no longer a superstar. And the crowd was going nuts for Isaiah Thomas. So kind of a rough night for Stephen A. Smith when it comes to his critique of Boston. And also remember the fact that he was talking about some of the guys are frustrated with him, and he said, I have to imagine I haven't talked to Terry Rozier personally, but he's frustrated by this. Which, oh, by the way, is like, Gordon Hayward's not taking minutes away from Terry Rozier. Like, that's the guy you pointed out that Terry Rozier would be frustrated? He's not taking any minutes away from Terry Rozier. That argument makes no sense whatsoever. That argument holds no water whatsoever. Terry Rozier has nothing to do with Gordon Hayward. They don't play the same position. So Stephen A. Smith was trying to like double down in his comment, and he pointed out Terry Rozier. That doesn't even make any sense. And oh, by the way, Stephen A. Smith, have you watched the Celtics play at all this year? Terry Rozier shouldn't be crying about playing time to anybody. The guy's literally sucked this year. There's no way he has an argument with anybody right now in terms of playing time. 617-779-7937. Let's get to Riley, who is in Bridgewater tonight. What's up, Riley?
Ryan, what's happening, brother?
What's going on?
Well, I was going to weigh in on the Kyrie-Isaiah situation, but you got me going with Stephen A. here, because this guy, like you said, I don't think he watches any Celtics basketball. I don't know how much basketball he actually watches. All of his facts are just ridiculous. They're all over the place. I mean, yeah, Gordon Hayward's great. He's white, obviously, but if there was a guy better than him that was purple, you know what I mean? We'd take him. I don't know why he thinks, you know, Boston's one of the biggest racist cities around. It might have been back in the day, but, you know, Durant's black. We want Durant.
Yeah, I know. With the same thing, Riley, remember, people cheered for Gordon Hayward when he was with the Jazz when he came here the year before he's a free agent. The same thing happened for Durant. They wanted Durant badly. And everybody right. would have rather had Durant than Gordon Hayward. Durant at the time was a top five player in the league, and Durant was somebody that you could make an argument was the second best player in the league behind LeBron James. So everybody would have loved Durant, and people wanted Durant more than they wanted Hayward. And then he doubles down on that comment just saying, like, Terry Rozier would be upset, right? Like, what does that even have to do with it? Like, do you watch? Terry Rozier's a point guard. He has nothing to do with Gordon Hayward. Like, the guy you should point out is Jaylen Brown. Like, if anybody would be upset, it would be Jaylen Brown. If Jaylen Brown was upset that Gordon Hayward's playing more than him, that makes sense because Jaylen Brown has been a much better player than Gordon Hayward, and they play similar positions. Terry Rozier, the only guy that plays the same position as Terry Rozier is Kyrie Irving, and he's not going to play more than Kyrie Irving. So it's just a stupid argument, and it makes him look even dumber tonight, Riley, when you look at it, considering the ovation that Isaiah Thomas got this evening.
Right, and if you know if Terry Rozier was playing better like he was at the end of last year, he probably wouldn't be on a team right now. You know, if we were hoping for him as an asset to trade him, you know, to get some maybe some picks better, another player. But Terry Rozier, if anybody, he's playing himself out of minutes because he's not the same player that he was at the end of the year in the playoffs.
Right? Yeah, that's fair, Riley. And he's really struggled to come off the bench. I appreciate the phone call. You can grab his line if you wanted. 617-779-7937. Yeah, the problem with Terry Rozier right now is that he can't come off the bench. For whatever reason, the guy can't come off the bench. That's the thing that you don't understand. Like, if you figure if you're Terry Rozier, understand, like, right now, he is in a position where he thought he was going to get a big contract. And if you think about it from his perspective, he figured, okay, Now, I want this contract from the Celtics. They're not getting me to the number I want before this season. But you would think, if you were in that mindset, that you would just want to come in and perform at a high level when you're actually on the court. And maybe that's what it is with Terry Rozier. He just forces things. Tonight, he's 3 of 9. He's, what, 1 of 6 for three-point territory. He just gets out there and he chucks up shots. It's like every time he's on the floor, he's worried about his contract. And the problem is, he's not going to get good money in a contract because he's had a horrible season. That's the issue I have. That's the issue I have right now with Terry Rozier. He's just not played particularly well, and I just don't get the comparison between Terry Rozier right now and why he would be frustrated with the Gordon Hayward minutes. If anything, it would be a guy like Jaylen Brown. If Jaylen Brown was legitimately frustrated with Gordon Hayward's minutes, and there was reporting to that the young guys were upset with how many minutes Gordon Hayward was playing at the beginning of the year, that would be justified from Jaylen Brown. I still don't understand why Jaylen Brown only played 20 minutes tonight. Somebody needs to figure out that answer. Why did Jaylen Brown only play 20 minutes tonight? The guy's been the best player on the team the past 3 games. 22 points, 23 points, 23 points, shooting 60% from the field. He plays 20 minutes tonight. Terry plays 21. Marcus Smart plays 33. Marcus Morris plays 35. This guy plays 20. The guy's been incredible the past couple of games. You feel like, all right, Jaylen Brown is really turning a corner. He's been really good since the beginning of the year, meaning the beginning of January, even if you go back to December, but he's really turned it on as of late, and he plays 20 minutes. What did Jaylen do to deserve to play 15 less minutes than Marcus Morris did? What did he deserve to play, or what did he do to deserve playing 13 less minutes than somebody along the lines of Marcus Smart? I just don't understand that whatsoever. That's the thing that frustrates me. All right, let's get to Andre on the Cape. What's going on, Andre?
Much. Once again, Brad Stevens has shown his ineptitude with his playing time for top guys. Let's remember that Jaylen Brown is a top 3 overall pick, and Brad Stevens seems to be concerned with giving lessons like he's a college coach. Just absolutely unacceptable. I'm a huge Brad Stevens fan. You know, coming into the season, he's one of the top-rated coaches in the league. But what he's done this year with this star-studded lineup can't be forgotten. It's been an absolute...
Well, and Andre, the other thing I would point out, why is it that Jaylen's the one that always gets penalized? It seems like, remember, at the beginning of the year when he struggled, he wasn't allowed to struggle. They put him on the bench. And now, like, tonight, he's the guy that loses playing time? I don't understand why he's the guy that is, like, it seems like he's punished. It doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. Like, why isn't Marcus Morris losing playing time? You know, like, what has Marcus Morris done for this team, like, the past 3 months? He was great at the beginning of the season. Not even great. Like, he shot the ball well for once in his career. Like, congratulations. Why isn't Marcus Smart getting less playing time when he doesn't play particularly well? Just because he makes hustle plays? I'm sorry, I want the high-end talent on the court more like Jaylen Brown. It's just mind-boggling, and it seems like, Andre, to what you're pointing out, he makes a mistake like this, it seems like, every night.
Again, true, and we have to recognize that Marcus Smart and Marcus Morris, both great players, the hustle, the energy, the grit, but they're not number 3 overall picks. Okay, the Celtics have 2 number 3 overall picks with elite talent. You're not picked number 3 overall unless you're an elite talent. That's Tatum and Jaylen Brown. These are the players the Celtics need to be nurturing. My big picture point is the Celtics need to stop worrying about free agents and start thinking about growing organically like the best teams in the league have done. Milwaukee, Denver, they drafted and they grew. Boston is not New York. It's not L.A. It's not Houston. It's not Chicago. It's not one of the 4 biggest cities. There's not a ton of exciting stuff. You don't have as much to offer, so you've drafted well. Grow from within. That's my, so with Brad, him missing the boat on that, completely disappointed. I've said it over and over again. I don't know what more to say. I wanted to get to your point about Stephen A. Smith and the nonsense that he was talking about Gordon Hayward and Isaiah Thomas.
What do you got?
So on that, first of all, it goes back to what I was saying about Brad Stevens. Gordon Hayward, he's not what he was, obviously, without the injury, but it's the way that he's been handled. Some nights he also plays 20 minutes a game, 21 minutes. He's not able to get into a rhythm, and here is my takeaway. Listen, if there's an issue with the ankle, which there probably is because he sits out certain nights, then play him like a man, 35-plus minutes one night, and then sit him down the next night, okay? You cannot play your highest-paid players or top players 20 minutes. It's disrespectful. It doesn't work in any circumstance outside of Tim Duncan at the end of his career. You either play your guys 35-plus. That's what stars play. Or if they're not healthy, just sit him down and let the other guys get those minutes. That's when the Celtics play their best. When I go back to the example in Philadelphia, when they beat Philadelphia on the road without Kyrie and they really shouldn't have won that game, what happened? With one guy being out, your other top 7 guys are able to play like men, 30-plus minutes, get in a rhythm, and then you play well. Okay, Brad Stevens with this YMCA nonsense, trying to get one guy a little bit of minutes, one guy a little bit of minutes here, one guy. Like, he's, look, Brad, it's not college. It's, college is about coaches. The NBA is about players, okay? And Brad, for some, you know, for all of his attributes, he's just missed the boat on that this year. And by the way, that is the reason that the LA Clippers, who are trying to do everything they can not to make the playoffs, are 9 games over .500 in the West. Because Doc Rivers understands people, okay? He understands how to get through to people and to put them in a position to be successful, which Brad Stevens, he's, it's like Tom Walsh with the old 49ers, okay? Where you have Tom Walsh, Joe Montana, and Jerry White, Rice, and everybody wants the credit. Brad wants too much damn credit. And he's, for his ideas, and he should just sit down and put his talent on the court and let them go to work.
Yeah, I appreciate the call, Andre. Good points there. 617-779-7937 if you want to grab his number. A lot of stuff there. I think he's referring to Bill Walsh, by the way. But his overall point about Gordon Hayward, it makes sense. I mean, how are you going to get into a rhythm if you're only playing 20 minutes per game sometimes? And the point he makes about Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, I've been harping on this for the past 2 months. It makes no sense to me that Brad Stevens has not orchestrated some of his offense around those guys to develop their talent, because they're the second and third most talented players on the team after Kyrie Irving. And they haven't tried to basically lift those guys up this year. Instead, he punishes Jaylen Brown for no reason, it seems like, every single week. Makes no sense to me whatsoever. All right, a lot more to get into, including we'll get into the Red Sox. Dustin Pedroia not going to be ready for opening day, but he thinks he's going to be ready. What does this mean for the season? And the Patriots are actually after a receiver you've heard of. Brian Barrett with you right here on WEEI.
But everybody and their mother knows that, particularly when it comes to Boston, if we could have a white superstar, that would be even better.
Good for you, Stephen A., for bringing up that issue.
You got me going with Stephen A. here, because this guy, I don't think he watches any Celtics basketball, but if there was a guy better than him that was purple, you know what I mean, we'd take him.
I thought my jokes were bad.
All right, Brian Barrett with you for the next about hour or so, hour and 10 minutes. 617-779-7937 is the number. Okay, so some people are just really dumb on Twitter. So anyway, Mark Ingram made this comment, which he just signed with the Baltimore Ravens, so it makes sense that he's going to hype up his teammate and whatnot, but this is what he said in reference to him and Lamar Jackson. Quote, "I think it's going to be dangerous. I think we're going to be explosive. I think we're going to change the game." And that's fair, whatever. He can say whatever he wants, sign a contract with the Ravens, got his money and whatnot. I can tell you this, they're not going to change the game. They're not going to change the NFL. First of all, we have to find out if Lamar Jackson can, you know, do this thing that a lot of quarterbacks need to do, which is like throw the football effectively.
He averaged less.
Yeah, exactly. Or not get hurt. He averaged less than 200 passing yards per game last season in the NFL in 2018. Like, that's pretty tough to do. You should be able to get to 200 yards. So Lamar Jackson, I get it. He came on, they were 6-1 down the stretch, and he's running the football, and they were catching teams off guard. But remember, when the Chargers saw them the second time around, they knew exactly what was going on, and Lamar Jackson couldn't move the football whatsoever. But what baffles me about this on Twitter is that's Mark Ingram's quote, which is fine. He wants to believe in his teammate, his quarterback, and all that different type of stuff. But the NFL subtweets this, or quote tweets this, whatever you want to do. They basically put up the quote from Mark Ingram, and they put this on Twitter. Name a better QB-RB duo. Name a better quarterback-running back duo than Lamar Jackson and Mark Ingram. To that I say, are you kidding me? We can go through, like, half the league. You can look at the Patriots. Wouldn't you say that Tom Brady, like the greatest of all time, and Sony Michel are a better quarterback-running back duo? Like, you can just look at that and say, yeah, that's probably better. Okay? You can look at, like, I don't know, say the team that Mark Ingram just left, where you have Drew Brees, Hall of Fame quarterback, and Alvin Kamara, who is the better running back in New Orleans than Mark Ingram, and say, oh, I don't know, I think that duo is better right now. How about just like the Vikings having Kirk Cousins and Dalvin Cook? Dalvin Cook now healthy. That's a better duo because Kirk Cousins is significantly better than Lamar Jackson at this particular point in time. I think I would take Matt Ryan and Devontae Freeman over that duo. And I get that Todd Gurley played poorly in the Super Bowl, but I would take Jared Goff and Todd Gurley over that duo at this particular point in time. For the NFL to retweet that and say, name a better QB RB duo, are you serious, than Lamar Jackson and Mark Ingram? Like, here's the thing. Call me crazy. I like my quarterbacks to actually be able to throw the ball at like some sort of efficient level. And Lamar Jackson hasn't proven he can do that whatsoever. I think there's more questions now with the Baltimore Ravens going forward than there actually are answers with this team. because we're not so sure about the quarterback. Not that you liked Flacco, because Flacco has sucked since 2014. He's on his way to Denver right now, but there's more questions about the Baltimore Ravens than there are answers. I get Earl Thomas, nice move, but you're moving on from the Terrell Suggs of the world. C.J. Mosley got overpaid from the New York Jets, but nonetheless, he was a really good player. I'm not disputing the fact that the guy's a really good player, so you lost a lot. And offensively, there's not too much to be pumped about with this Baltimore team. Who are their weapons? They don't exactly have a lot of weapons on the outside that are lighting things up either. The AFC, we look at this. The Patriots, of course, have owned the AFC for a number of years now. But you think about it, like, who are the real threats? We know the Chiefs are, but the Chiefs are dealing with their own issues. Right now, you don't know what's going to happen with Tyreek Hill. If this turns out to be true and he's charged, Tyreek Hill may not play for the Chiefs again, considering the fact that he already got in trouble when he was in college, where he beat up his then-pregnant girlfriend, who is now his wife, and now he's accused, and I get he hasn't been charged yet, but he's accused of breaking his son's arm. If that turns out to be true, you're looking at the best receiver on the Kansas City Chiefs, the most explosive weapon in the NFL right now, no longer at Pat Mahomes' disposal. We already know that defense sucks in Kansas City. You look at a Colts team that, okay, yeah, they're making some improvements. The Houston Texans, Deshaun Watson in the postseason last year, was not particularly good. And we know that Belichick owns Bill O'Brien. He's 6-0 against him. So who exactly scares you in the AFC right now? And, oh, by the way, we know everything that's going on with the Steelers. Like, the Steelers were supposed to be your rivals. They were supposed to be the team that threatened the Patriots over the past 5 years or so. What's happened to that team? What's happened to that team? They're an absolute disaster. Le'Veon Bell no longer there. We know he's now with the New York Jets. And then you look at a situation of Antonio Brown now with the Raiders. Like, the AFC has turned out to be an absolute joke. You worry about the Chiefs because of Pat Mahomes' greatness, but he may not have Tyreek Hill with him. And the Colts may be on the come up because Andrew Luck is now healthy. And they've done a great job drafting, where you drafted two All-Pros last year. On the offensive line, Quentin Nelson, and then Darius Leonard, the linebacker. So those are like the two teams I look at right now where I'm actually like, okay, those are threats to the Patriots. But neither one of those teams scares me right now. And if you look at the Chiefs, they may be not even close to the same level of potency offensively that they were last year if they don't have Tyreek Hill going forward because of all this stuff that's going off the field with him. All right, a lot more to get into, including I want to get to the Red Sox. Dustin Pedroia not going to be ready for opening day. It doesn't seem like he's too happy about that. It seems like he's got a dispute with the manager on that. And then also the Patriots. They're after a wide receiver that you've actually heard of. We'll get to that. Brian Barrett with you right here on WEI.